What's up, everybody? Welcome to Youth Force Chronicles, the podcast.
The podcast for teens by teens, where we learn about jobs and careers.
Yeah, there you go, James. Today, we're interviewing Christy Chrysler.
Chrysler.
Man, I'm bad at names. what do they do?
Let's find out.
Are you ready?
This is a horrible time to adjust my microphone.
My goodness. Sorry. Anyway, guys, welcome back to the show. My name is Mr. Joe, and with me we have...
James.
Oh, we got
meet you guys.
Hey,
James, and I'm Crazy J. Welcome to the show, everybody. Are you guys excited?
I hope
I'm having a hard time over here, man. I got the little frog in my throat there, man. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I'm with the chlorophyll.
Wait. Nope. All right. So anyway, folks, this is the part of the show where we give a fun fact about ourselves, and we have 10 seconds this time to come up with a fun fact about ourselves. And if we can't think of a fun fact in 10 seconds, then one of us gets to make up one for the other. All right. So, you know what? Let's start with Crazy J this time.
Yes. Okay.
Fun fact.
Fun fact about me. Fun fact about me is I enjoy Muppet movies.
Muppet movies.
Yeah, like the Muppets.
You talking about like the puppets? But they're like...
First of all, it's the Muppets.
Like Kermit the Frog?
With respect on that M, sir. Yeah, Kermit the Frog, you know.
Can you do an impression?
Okay. Hi-ho. No, I can't. Hi-ho. Kermit the Frog here. I think that was good.
You know, that's actually not that bad.
I know. I dabble in voiceovers and stuff.
Do you do voiceovers on your side?
I wish, man. That's actually a thing. Like, you can, on Amazon, you can, like, read people's books and they'll pay you.
Ooh. So you will read it as Kermit the Frog?
I would not. It would hurt my throat.
Because you got a frog in your throat?
Mm. Yeah, but we really need those sound effects.
Anyway, all right. James, your turn.
I got sunburn on my neck.
I don't know how much fun that is, but that's good.
Sounds painful.
What were you doing?
I was mowing.
Oh, hard labor.
Do you do when you mow, do you try to like get those shapes in there? Like, you know how it's like lines in the grass. If you stand back, you can see the lines, or is it?
It's too technical.
Oh yeah. I got, I do checkers.
For checkers?
Real? Oh, I need proof.
Say
go home and take a picture.
I don't think you'll see it now.
Oh, I mean, likely. If there's no picture, it didn't happen.
You're right.
All
right.
The next time I will.
Okay.
Hey, you better. All right. Fun fact about me. Oh, gosh. What do I say this time?
Mm.
I feel like you all know me. Fun fact about me is I like artificial blueberry.
You're almost done. What? Artificial blueberry?
I freaked out.
So that doesn't count, right?
Maybe. No, it counts.
Whatever. Who makes the rules here? Artificial blueberry? What are you talking about?
Like Pop-Tarts?
That's the worst kind.
No, it's
it says
not.
On the back of the package is artificial. It's not, oh, wait. No, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. All right. Well.
It's not real. But for some reason, I like
it. Did you see that Pop-Tart movie on Netflix with Jerry Seinfeld?
There's a Pop-Tart
movie. Dude, it is the biggest cereal commercial in your entire life. Like, it is the Marvel Cinematic Universe of breakfast treats. I mean, there's like...
Stanley?
No, Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
So
that's interesting.
It's about... Well, it's funny because it actually came from a joke that he did about a Pop-Tart a long time ago. He started writing a joke about a Pop-Tart. And so this movie is about the how the Pop-Tart was invented. And it's pretty good. I haven't finished it yet, but it was...
I was told it was made out of bones.
Bones?
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that?
My grandma when I was young.
Oof. I know sometimes parents tell their kids stuff to keep them from doing something, but like that just seems like such a outlandish thing to make up.
Yeah.
Like what kind of bone?
Like
bones.
Just like mashed up.
I was young. I don't remember, but.
That's hilarious.
All right.
Well, anyway.
Thank you, Grandma, for that.
So folks, we are about to introduce our guest and figure out what they do. And so today we have Christy Christner. Hey, Christy. You doing okay today?
I'm doing great. So excited to be here.
I'm so glad to have you. Christy, before we get started into what you do, can you tell us a fun fact about yourself? Can you tell us a fun fact about yourself?
Yeah, fun fact about myself. Recently accidentally stole a plant from Home Depot.
Say what?
I
don't know if that you should be admitting that on the internet.
Okay.
Anyway. Home Depot police are going to come after you.
It happened the other day. I forgot that it was in my hand and I walked out of the store. And it was purely a mistake. And you're right. I should not have admitted that. But
no, it's okay.
Fun fact about Christy.
This, I mean, listen, I can understand a thing, a chapstick or something like that, but a plant, like, how did you even, like, did you just, like, well, first of all, shame on them, because they deserve to lose it if they didn't stop someone stealing a plant coming out of the...
Like, so we spreading Mother Earth.
Yeah. What kind of plant was it?
It was a peace lily, a little tiny peace lily.
Oh, peace. It's in the name, so they said peace be with
you. Yeah, peace out.
I got my mom kicked out of Walmart when I was younger for stealing a toy car.
Ooh, she got kicked out of Walmart?
Mm-hmm.
We know something about getting kicked out of Walmart, don't we, Joe?
We don't need to tell everybody that.
No. I don't know. I just admitted to stealing, so.
Well, listen, ours was not, we were shooting a promo video for our show last summer, and we're doing like a little commercial for it, and we were not being disruptive, and we were taking stuff and throwing it in the cart, but like not in a way that was like, you know, like
damaging or whatever.
Yeah, YouTube pranking, you know, it wasn't anything like that. And then this one guy came in with a hard attitude. Well, so the same guy, we asked this one guy and he's like, oh yeah, we don't mind. We got permission first. And then this other guy who was like had glasses and whatever saw us, got annoyed, then went and told the other guy. And then that guy came out and like Paul Blart on a bad day, telling us to get out of the store. He's like, no, you guys need to get out of here. I was like, you just told us. I was like, we're putting everything back. And he's like, no, you're not. And I was like, whatever, dude. So we left. It was not fun. But
and we then still, we learned we should go to Walmart at night.
Yeah, it's all you stupid YouTubers out there that freaking make it worse for us.
Hey, those videos are actually really entertaining.
No, they're wrong in so many ways.
But they're funny.
They're face, not my favorite.
Your face is funny.
That's not nice.
What'd you say, Christy?
I'm not a big fan of the YouTube videos.
Yeah.
Yeah, with all the pranks.
The dang kids and their YouTube videos.
The youth. No, as we're on a youth podcast.
Coming in here scaring old people for no reason. But the joke was on him because we had finished the commercial. So
that's all that matters.
We made it happen. So it was funny. But
anyway, okay, so the funny part to today is that both Jason and James do not know what you do, Christy.
I think I have an idea.
You have an idea?
Yeah, but okay. I'm going to let her, you do the spit, the what is it called? Thing. I'm having microphone problems over here right now. So.
Hey, you do with your microphone problems. Yeah. So I got you. Okay, so Christy.
Is it there?
Yes.
Okay.
I know we discussed either doing two lies and one truth or explaining it horribly to get the guess. Which one did you go with?
I'm going to horribly explain.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Okay. Just a very short, tiny, concise sentence.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be
Joe got excited about that. He's like, yes, it's alive.
If Joe's getting excited about it, then it's got to be something really good.
Oh, this is
if not, he's fired. I'm just kidding.
No pressure. Okay.
I can't fire Joe. You kidding me?
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
I think so.
Okay. Have you ever been to the circus or some type of show and you've seen the person who is struggling to juggle, like, things on fire?
Okay, yeah.
And then someone slowly starts throwing even more things on fire, and then the person somehow just keeps juggling and they're walking at the same time. Yeah, that's what I do.
Okay, so she juggles things
that's on fire and then people keep
and
adding
things
stuff.
Just keep throwing things on fire at me. and I have to keep juggling them.
Are you in education at all? I'm just guessing. I'm doing a process of elimination here.
No, I used to be, but no.
Okay, James, do you have a guess? Like, just process of elimination. So, like, ask her a question about a job
that juggles many things on fire.
So you don't work with children at all? Well, I mean, children, no. Like, okay, actual children, not, you know, adults who are like children.
Not adults like, no, I do not work with children.
Huh, okay.
Juggle things with fire.
So it's a metaphor, so don't focus on the fire part.
What? Or that might be the most important part. No.
if you juggle fire, like, for real, I'm going to be really impressed. I'm not going to lie.
That's what she does.
No. I'll narrow it down a little. I do not handle real fire.
Okay. So do you work in some sort of corporate building or in a corporate industry?
It's not corporate. It's a nonprofit.
Oh, okay. So there's the juggling of the fire, because we know that. You also have many hats too, right? Like, it's like, oh, this is my job. No, this is my job, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you work at a nonprofit.
It's a little bit more narrow. It's a little bit more specific.
Is this your nonprofit or is it?
No.
Okay. James, what do you think it is? Add something.
You guys lost me at juggling.
Okay. So what she's saying is that she has tons of stuff that she does, and then people keep adding stuff while everything is burning down, pretty much.
No, it's controlled. It's controlled fire.
Okay.
And I'm walking around balancing all of the items that I'm juggling.
Entertaining,
so it's controlled. People,
okay.
Making sure
you're in entertainment. Is that fire. You just said you entertain people? Are you a birthday clown?
No.
Okay.
James, what do you think?
You guys still lost me after you guys started talking more about fire.
Okay. So what is, I'm going to help James. I want James to really get this one, because I don't get it. But so we're going to move past the fire. So, like, basically you just have a lot of tasks that are given to you, and then, like, you're expected to do those, but then other things come in. And you're just like in this constant, okay, I'm just going to keep constant adding. Constant
balance of, and it's not just like a bowling pin on fire.
Then you're used to board members, because that's another one of those things where you have people come in and kind of like give you things to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is one of the demographics I work with.
So it's very stressful, I would assume, to some degree. It is. But it has a purpose. I believe,
according to Google, the last time I checked, it is the third most stressful jobs.
So you work in nonprofit. This is getting somewhere. So you work in nonprofit.
You have many assignments.
So, but, and the reason why you probably love this job is because it has a big purpose, and that's what's keeping you on the job, is like, because you're just like, you love the purpose behind it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This job is also found in corporate realms.
What? Ooh. Are you HR?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
It's HR.
human resources. It's where you go to.
All right. One final guess.
Oh, gosh.
One final guess. This is hilarious,
Chris. Is it? Okay. So you're a nonprofit. So you're probably an administrator of something, at least, or an assistant.
I am not.
Okay. So you're neither one of those. Dang.
Okay. Christy, reveal to us. What is it that you.
Please. Are we ready? I'm an events coordinator.
Oh my gosh. No. Okay. It makes total sense now.
What is that?
Oh, I'm glad you asked.
She plans things that are amazing events. Okay. So yeah, now it really makes sense.
So Christy, tell us, what is an events coordinator?
Yeah. An events coordinator, it's kind of within the name. You coordinate different events. No, let me break it down. I'll break it down. So I work for a nonprofit called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. It is a Christian denomination and like a mission sending organization. So I work at the national office, and I am an in-house events coordinator. Mm. So we work with various departments to help them plan conferences, to help them plan different community outreaches. Right now, I'm in a team of five. And my role is very a niche genre because it's in the nonprofit and the Christian world. Mm-hmm. So we help with all of the contractual logistics. So venues, hotels, conference centers, we help with catering contracts. We don't really help develop the program, but we develop a lot of the behind the scenes logistics. Mm-hmm. And we're also on site support. So, we do executive events for our board of trustees and our presidential cabinet down to, local pastors or youth events. Mm-hmm. It's a big spectrum of what we do.
That's incredible.
Wow.
So there's no fire involved?
Not real fire if we're doing our job.
Metaphor,
hopefully.
James, read a book.
I love how he's focused on this fire. He's like, I'm interested.
He gets focused on a lot of things, like the bouncy balls and the fires. It's just another, okay.
Flaming bouncy.
Anyways, balls. I want the chlorophyll.
I want those.
Why do you keep saying that?
It's from Billy Madison, man. Oh, I want the chlorophyll.
But they don't know what that is.
I know. I'm sorry. It's a fun movie.
But anyway, okay. So, Christy, what got you into becoming an coordinator?
Yeah, I've had a lot of jobs in my life. I did work in public education for a little bit. I was a special education paraprofessional. Mm-hmm. So I walked around with different students to their classes. I was a cheer coach. I was a youth group leader at my local church. I was a newspaper managing editor for a while. I was an operations manager for an auxiliary services when I phased into higher education. And then most recently before this job, I was a facilities director. So within all of my jobs that I've held, both salaried and volunteer jobs, there's been a common theme of event planning. So unfortunately, the university I was working at most recently closed down. So I was forced to look for a new job. And the Christian and Missionary Alliance, the university was a flagship for the denomination. So from connections and networks, I heard about the events coordinator position and I applied, walked through the interview process. And here I am now in Columbus, Ohio.
Wow. That's a story.
I know, like,
how did you know her though? Like,
okay, so before Christy moved to Ohio, she worked here in Cleveland for a little bit, but then her and my wife got to work together for a little bit. And honestly, after getting to hear Christy's career journey, I was like,
yeah,
this is perfect.
Wild.
This will be incredible to have her on the show. And so with this huge knowledge of like, and very versatile.
Yeah. Like there was no plan. It just happened.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh man. Yeah. It was like, I'm going to do all this stuff. And then I'm going to end up doing something that nobody really expected. Yeah. No one saw it coming. That's awesome.
So, yeah. It's been a journey for sure. Getting to where I'm at.
What was your worst job you ever had?
Oh my gosh. The worst job I ever had. I think the one I was most miserable at. Mm-hmm. That wasn't life-giving was when I was working at the newspaper. It was a small town newspaper, the town I grew up in. Yeah, there was a lot of politics and reporting. Yeah, it just wasn't for me. Yeah. Nothing with the demographic that I was reporting on. It was just not the right job for me.
Yeah. What was the name of that? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
No, we'll keep it. Okay, so with you being an events coordinator, did you have to go to school for that?
No, I did not go and get a degree in hospitality. You can. A lot of people do. And if a lot of people who are events coordinators have a bachelor's in hospitality.
So, okay. So that kind of hospitality, I thought hospitality was more like,
like what do you call it? Being a hotel receptionist.
Yeah, like a hotel receptionist. That helps us a little bit because there's some boxes that we're trying to check with hospitality. But like for some of our grants that we get, we have to like kind of have the kids be trained on hospitality type stuff. So that's a really, I didn't think that was even the, I guess it's kind of in the name, but I guess this could sound really dumb, but I thought hospitality was like hotel.
I mean, it's a part of it.
Yeah, but like
it's wrong. a large part of it. Yeah, okay. Definitely. A lot of the hotel venues that we work with, a lot of their sales team and their events managers and catering service managers, they're coming from a hospitality major of some kind. I think it's more popular within events coordinators world. There's something called a CMP, a certified meeting professional. It is a 400 question test. It is extensive.
Wow. So wait a second.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So like you get a test on how to run meetings, or like what does the test entail?
Do you know? It's industry practices. Okay. There's ethics around it, contracts, making sure that you're up to date on liability and insurance needs. There's a lot of knowledge that needs to be known about events. You can specialize in international events or the health realm. There's a need to know logistics specifically around liability and people's safety.
Oh, that's really cool. Have you found any kind of certificate programs that like help you, like, because you didn't go to school for it, but you obviously have a degree in something, right? Or no?
Yeah, intercultural studies and business.
It's like hope. Yeah. So have you found like little bits and pieces of stuff to like kind of bump your resume up, or is it in this industry?
The CMP certification, some venues don't even look at you to consider hosting your event unless you have a CMP working with you.
Wow.
And yeah, so the CMP is something, there's a lot of requirements. There's like educational requirements. If you did not major in hospitality or even minor in hospitality, you have to have a certain minimum of hours working events.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's something you don't have to major in hospitality to get into the events realm. I think something that is really important is contract negotiation.
Yeah.
Understanding some basic laws, having planned several events, which I have. I've planned a lot of youth conferences before.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask next, was like, when you say plan events, like, are we talking like a talent show, or are we talking like conferences or wrestling matches, like kind of thing, or? Or
everything,
a combination of both.
Yeah, this is why there's so many different types of event coordinators.
The thumbs up. Did you see the thumbs up?
I saw the thumbs up.
That was unintentional. Go ahead. Sorry, I didn't interrupt you.
That's okay. Yeah. This is a lot of corporate companies. They'll have in-house events coordinators that know all of the ins and outs and specificities of the company. So like if you're working for a finance company, knowing that your events coordinator is going to be working with people, a lot of professionals in the finance world, and that's their demographic. My demographic are pastors, missionaries, youth workers. So it's really revolved around the Christian world. So there's some universities will have in-house events coordinators. Mm. There's really a need for it everywhere. I don't know if high schools ever have their own events coordinators, but it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. I think, we have a facility here at the Pi Center that we use, and I had a meeting today about that. Like, we were talking about how we could become more present of one of the things that we've been charged with for the youth force is, having a business. And so we have a sound business that we do. So we run, that's one reason why we do the podcast. And then we also set up for sound. And then we also set up for sound for events. But there's a local company Zandra has a lot of events that she sets up for. So we're trying to figure out how to like get them in to where we are the events people for this building. And so that's just really cool.
Yeah, especially getting to talk with you, especially about events.
This is good. You did a good job, Jen.
Glad I can help. On my team, in my department, we have an AV technician/specialist.
Are you hiring?
Are you hiring?
Are we hiring? What?
James is looking for a job. I'm just kidding.
I mean, an internship, James. Ooh. Internships are incredible and so important for you to do to gain experience.
No, you don't have to take it. But
so I don't have to take the 400 I don't want to take the 400.
Like what you do now with like when you're gonna start working at Just Love next door to us, that's an internship. So you're learning, but you're getting paid for it. And so like that's one thing about our program that's so cool is that we get to offer those internships.
Yeah, for work-based learning.
So so what she's saying is take advantage of these things because they all add to your resume.
Yeah.
And you have like this big of a resume. So and it's our job to find you quality like programming for that. That's why I was asking about the certificates. Like, is there something like a high schooler like James could do to kind of like get a certification in that would like, you know, hand washing or something like that, that would like propel him like kind of. And I'm just using him as an example. Is there any way that teenagers can do something like that?
I don't believe there's any type of certification. I could be wrong about that. I do think what I have found that's really driven a lot of my success. I've had the privilege of having some pretty higher leadership roles. I just finished my bachelor's last summer. And I was very much an untraditional student, but that's not prevented me from becoming promoted to director and operations manager and things like that because of my work experience. Mm-hmm. So I think for teenagers who are interested in events or even in hospitality, finding a job, even like sitting behind a hotel front desk where you learn checking people in and out. A large part of my job is working with hotels, giving them a rooming list of 500 people, making sure that all of their rooms are assigned. And if you know you have 500 people checking in on one Thursday and you've got 500 people checking out on the that following Sunday, you have to be prepared. So gaining experience, even with some of the smaller jobs, I was a facilities director and working even as a janitor, like there's no low positions.
Oh, wow.
Everything can be something that teaches you something. So your work ethic, I think, can really shape you. Even if you don't go into events, just getting that experience and taking every opportunity that you can to learn something new can really help you professionally. One of the things that in hotels specifically, we work a lot with hotels and conference centers, but hotels, they always need catering service staff. Mm. You can make a really beautiful career in catering service. So setting up banquets, that means like rolling napkins and setting up the tables to actually being the one to place the orders. If you're interested in the food world and you want to become a chef, looking into working at a hotel, we work with a hotel slash conference center here in Columbus a lot, who are amazing for a lot of our receptions. So the events world is so broad. And gaining experience in anything and everything can really benefit you.
No, for sure. Oh, James, do you have a question real quick?
So the job you do now, when did you know that it was the right one for you?
Such a good question, James.
Attaboy, James.
So I'm coming from New York City and I was working 65 hours a week and I was also taking full-time classes. And even before that, I've always been a workaholic. You'll see that in my resume and all my close friends know this about me. So I had gotten to a place where I was burnt out and tired and ready for a new challenge. And I really sat down and self-evaluated. One of the biggest strengths I think all of us can improve on is self-awareness, which is really hard. but I sat down and I was miserable. I was exhausted. I was burnt out. I felt like I was missing out on life. And I wanted to find the joy and I wanted to find things that were life-giving. So, and I went back and looked at all of the themes in my life. What part of the jobs have I had that truly were fun? And were something that didn't seem heavy to go in, clocking in from a 9 to 5. Mm. It was interesting. And within those themes, events were always consistently being brought up in my memory. Working on planning like a fall retreat for the youth group or working with the Chamber of Commerce with bringing local businesses together. bringing international students together for to experience a Thanksgiving when they couldn't go back home for such a short break. Bringing people together, I love. I'm an extrovert. I love bringing people together to share a meal. I think this is why Lori Lynn, Joseph, and I have become so close, because we love sharing a meal together.
Yes.
So that's what I was looking for, James. I was looking for something that was life-giving. And in the job description of an events coordinator, it fit perfectly with what I had found joy in. And I'm just 3.5 months in on this new job.
Whoa.
And so it's still new. I'm still learning so much. And I think it was last month, even after I got back from a conference. It was a 4-day conference specifically for event planners, and you would meet all these different, it was a trade show where you would meet all these different venue
That's
locations.
Awesome.
It was great. It was so much fun. The food was great. Got to meet a lot of people. But there was a seminar where, this speaker, she was amazing. And she's talking about, life is really short, and a job, you dedicate your entire life, a large portion of your life. I mean, ultimately it was a seminar, from this amazing female speaker, just like your job encompasses so much of your life. And it's so important to find something that yes, pays the bills, gives you financial security, because that's super important. And there's good work and life boundaries, but also something that can fill you up and doesn't deplete you of everything. So it was after that, and I had another self-evaluation moment. And yeah, I just realized this is it. This is where I want to build my career.
You know, there's a lot of good things to impact in that.
Yeah.
But we'll do that later, because it's time for a rapid fire question.
Man, we need sound effects.
We got a sound for. See, hey, turn
wait,
it up.
Wait. There was. There it is.
You thought I wasn't ready.
Goodness gracious. Okay, so this is the part of the show where we're going to ask you rapid fire questions, and you have got to answer them the first thought that comes to your head, whether they are true or not or whatever. You know, we're just going to go for it.
So we're going to do this for 1 minute. And
How many did the last guest get?
Oh, yeah. And so
you beat the last.
I think he got up to 11.
We're working on getting a counter.
Yeah. So our last guest on this show had answered 11 questions. And so now it's just going to be your job to see if you can answer more than them.
So
I'm ready.
I think we just need to have. Okay, never mind. Go ahead. We'll Joe do the countdown, Joe.
All right. So Amelia, you ready? Okay, here we go. In 3, 2, 1. Favorite flavor of ice cream?
Vanilla.
Favorite movie?
Good Will Hunting.
Can you read?
Yes.
Who's your favorite author?
Jane Eyre.
Favorite book?
Jane Eyre.
Ham or sausage?
Ham.
Would you rather have no arms or no legs?
No legs.
What's your favorite beverage?
Pepsi.
Well, favorite pastime?
Playing the piano.
Ooh, can you swim?
No.
Favorite superhero?
Batman.
If you could have coffee with one person, alive or dead, who would it be? Yeah.
Jane Eyre.
Jane Eyre.
Does pineapples belong on a pizza?
No.
Is water wet?
No.
Would you rather travel by plane or boat?
Plane.
When's the last time you stubbed your toe?
Yeah. Over the weekend on Saturday.
We were getting it.
Yeah, you actually did more than last week's guest.
You answered 16 questions.
What do I get?
A high five.
We'll write you a good recommendation letter.
Okay.
That was good. No, that was funny.
I love Amelia's skills in getting these sound effects for us. So shout out to Amelia.
Don't toot your own horn, Amelia. Sorry, that was a dad joke.
She said, I'm the producer. I do what I want.
Yeah. It's like,
you know what?
Jurisdiction here.
Oh, man. Okay. So let's get back into the question she answered before for the rapid fire. So you were talking about burnout.
Ooh.
Burnout is a...
What do you think burnout means, James?
Yeah.
Like when you're on a car and you hold the gas.
You know, I was hoping he was going to answer that.
Yeah.
That is burnout.
It is a burnout, but we're talking about a mental burnout.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Have you ever had your parents come home from work and they're just like, man, I'm just so tired. I'm just and they complain, maybe complain about how their day was so bad and stuff. They had to have. Every adult does at some point.
Probably, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it's that moment of where you feel like there's stuff going on in your life that you feel like is not producing
fruit.
Yeah. Producing fruit in the way that you want it to. And it makes you reevaluate some of the things that you are going through in your life. It's like, am I doing enough? Is this really helping me grow in my life?
Is it developing me?
Yeah. It's that moment of wanting more. And so, burnout, that's
see, some people can go to a 9-to-5 and they
be fine.
They're okay with clocking in, doing the same thing every day, and then clocking out and then going home and forgetting about it. But other people, like, I think they're the doers and the helpers. The helpers love to go. I think Mr. Rogers talked about this, finding the helpers, right? And the helpers always, we're easy to get burnt out because we love to help. And so the Bible talks about this, about how you want to make sure that you're not pouring too much out, but you're keeping enough in, kind of deal.
Or getting fed,
you know, and being developed and not like producing. When we talk about producing fruit, we want to make sure that you, as you're growing in your career, that you're being challenged in a good way to like grow to be a better version of you.
Yeah. So Christy, like, can you talk a little bit about your experience in burnout and what did you do to help yourself get out of that? Or what were some of the things that you challenged yourself with to find fruit in your life?
Yeah, such a great question and such an important topic to discuss. One of the realities of life, unfortunately, is like a financial need. And we all come, I'm sure some of your listeners and maybe you guys yourselves, we all come from different socioeconomic backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And one of the realities is you have to have a job to pay your rent and to pay your bills. So I've, out of necessity, like always kind of had a job. Even when I was young, in high school and middle school, like I was always working. And there's also like a people pleaser mentality that I have. And I think there's been a lot of times where a lot of seasons in my life where I've worked so much, I've worked so hard. I've just kept going and going and going until I completely like am drained and exhausted and I can't do anything else. And this happened again, at my university job. I was giving so much and I had no boundaries. I was always saying yes, for fear of trying to prove myself. I think as a woman, person of color, there's also, as you're fighting for your degree, you're fighting for your job. There's another layer to that of having to prove yourself, and to fight against some stereotypes. A mixture of that and having no boundaries as I was trying to build my career, always having my work phone on, even for an 11 p.m. phone call. And I don't recommend that, obviously. I think that goes without saying. But it's such an easy pattern to get sucked into because there's this idea that we have to produce good quality work. And in order to be taken seriously, we always have to be willing to step up to the plate. So just through realizing that, from finding community and having some people in my life who are close friends of mine kind of point out some patterns, that was really helpful and necessary. So that's something that is so huge in this life, not only to find a job that gives life, but to surround yourself with community. I tend to isolate sometimes, so, and that's something that I think a lot of Americans do as well. Right now, we're in a time where I think they say Generation X is the loneliest generation ever recorded. So fighting against that is intentionally surrounding yourself with community, which is hard. So from that, taking people's insight and observations very seriously, I just realized that I needed to have boundaries. And no is a complete sentence, and it's not wrong.
That's completely fair. So boundaries and protecting yourself in the workplace. Yeah, that's some good stuff there, too. Does anybody have any other thoughts?
No, I think... No. it's a conclusion. No, I think it's important to put up those boundaries. It's really hard, especially when you are passionate about your job.
And
there's a purpose behind it. I know I've struggled with that, especially with working for the Boys and Girls Club, is because you get so focused in on the passion and the purpose that it just becomes the thing. And
yeah,
youth ministry is the same way too. Like, you get so caught up in, I got to save them all. But you're like, no, you don't.
Not our job.
Yeah, not our
especially
job.
Especially in the nonprofit world.
Just do your stuff. Just do the part that you need to do. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So when with throughout the process of burnout and everything, what was it, a job or was it just the people around you that helped you get into a healthy mindset? The pivotal moment of like, okay, this is where I feel like my life is going right now.
I think I
with that was my a poor job, question. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I think I'm tracking. With the university I was working at, they shut down. They lost their accreditation. So there was a forced necessity to leave. And honestly, I'm so stubborn and I'm so I'm just so stubborn that that's what it took for me to realize that I am miserable. I am tired and I deserve more. So, but also a huge part of it was the people around me. Anytime I would talk to my parents or talk to my friends, they asked me how I was doing it. The answer would be not well. And another conversation that's so important to have is mental health and depression. I mean, we're just being so vulnerable and honest here today, guys. I've always struggled with depression my whole life. And so with that, realizing through therapy as well that, hey, you're not in the right place. And sometimes that's just for a season. And sometimes it's a slump, but sometimes it's circumstantial. And sometimes your outside environment really affects that. And you have to make physical changes.
Yeah, I know as a fellow extrovert, I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, which I just want to experience everything all the time. It's very easy for us to get into that and we forget to refuel and to keep the cup full, because it's like we're pouring out and you almost have this like sense of duty to be on all the time. And like, you're like constantly there to make, for me, it's making people like laugh and being the cut up and all that stuff, just because it's like, I found with this job, one of my gifts is that I can really lighten up a room, especially with, you got, like, we had Youth of the Year a couple months, like in February. And man, them kids, they were all crying. That's the first year I've done it. Every single one of them was backstage having some sort of anxiety attack.
Oh no.
And I'm like, y'all, like, it's not that, I mean, it's serious, but it's not that serious. And so we were just back there cutting up and stuff like that. And it's just like, you know, you kind of forget to help yourself out a little bit and take a rest. This weekend was busy for us over at the house. And so I know how that feels, like you're just tired.
Yeah. And there is such a time and place for hard work. I mean, I don't think everyone needs a college degree to get to where they want to be in life. I really don't. But there's a time for work. There's a time for investing and like sitting, just getting down and grinding it out. But it has to be a balance of fun as well.
Oh, for sure. I want to pick your brain a little bit, James, on this. Still being in school and all that, do you notice how some students kind of get into this funk, like even though they're not in the workplace, but still where it's like they feel like they're just, I don't know, down and out in the slumps, as though they say?
Yeah, I personally have gone through that.
Yeah, you don't have to talk about it, but like, you don't have to go in depth, let me say it that way, but like, what do you feel like is a factor for that for a student your age?
To be honest, I don't really know.
It's one of those things that happens.
I think a lot of it has to do with, and this is just completely outside looking in, I think a lot of it is there's so much pressure right now, like outside of, I mean, COVID, I say that, I think I feel like I said this every episode almost, COVID jacked everybody up, especially the kids. And so like that gap of that development. And then now it's like there's still the pressure to catch up, but then you have the other stressors of life that are kind of weighing in. And then, you know, you just, it just, there's a lot of, you know, I don't know, James, I don't know if you are on social media a lot, but that kind of has a, some sort of factor into it too, because you're, even though you might not feel like you're comparing yourself to a lot of people, you still are, because you're like, man, they're so happy. And then, you know, Instagram is like this big, and then the rest of the world is that big. You know what I'm saying? So like it might, such circumstances might have a lot to do with it, but
it's also like we're teenagers. We're trying to have fun, you know, live it out. But then you got school.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, no, we want you to focus on what you want to do when you grow up. We want you to focus on all mm-hmm. these things and stuff like that. And it just makes it seem like there's not enough time to live.
That's good.
Like a kid, you know?
And that might your be
dreams.
What, yeah.
That's such an unfortunate pressure. And I can commiserate with you in that. I remember when I was in high school, when graduation was coming, I was like, man, there's just never enough time to do anything. And I was doing too much. I was doing every possible extracurricular and went to every community event while still trying to make A's and meet all of the needs of my parents and all of those social pressures to get along with my friends and to fit in. And that's something even like when you go off to college and if you go off to college or as you're deciding to go to college, the thing that I've realized is there's so much more time. I'm only 26 and my whole life, I'm turning 27 this month. And I've heard so many people in my life have told me, oh, you're so young. You're so young. And it's been such a negative thing where the older generation, they say, oh, you're too young to understand. And it really creates this weird thing in our brains where we're like, okay, we're too young.
It's invalidating.
And that sounds negative. Yeah. So let me try to quickly become more mature and to age faster. And that's such a thing that older generations have to stop doing.
Yeah.
It's not true. You are still young. There's so much time. And you know what? There's going to be so many mistakes that you make. I've made so many that I was like, I can't move on from this. My career is ruined. My social life is ruined. Like to the point where it was crippling anxiety. And I like didn't talk to people for weeks.
Oof.
But the world kept moving forward. And I'm still here today. But there's so much time. And I think the system that we live in, where you're forced to like, right after high school, you have to know where you're going to go to college. You have to know what you want to do with your job. No, I'm still figuring it out. I'm an events coordinator right now, and I plan to be here for, you know, the next several years. But there's a director position that could potentially be opening up. And all my coworkers are like, oh, you should go for that. And a part of me wants to say, yeah, I'm going to go and become that director. I'm going to climb that ladder. But I really am in a place where I'm asking, do I even want that?
Yeah. Just sit.
So being in that place of asking, what do I want? What brings joy? It's a beautiful place to be in. And it's a continuous thing.
And sometimes at the top, it's extremely lonely. Like you don't have, cause you, the higher you get, the more like you've got to cut yourself off of other things. You know, and it's funny we're talking about this because remember that TikTok I sent you, Joe, about the kid on Dr. Phil where he.
Yeah.
So there's this clip I found on TikTok where this kid was arguing with the. So there's like the old school blue collar mentality, right? You got to get up. You got to 6 a.m. You're up and grinding all day and you never see your family. You're committing to doing all this stuff and your body's breaking down. You got to do it. This is what you got to do. And then this kid had this like wake up call where he's like, why am I even doing this? If I could go out and I could make more money doing less work. And that's what the digital age has brought is that. And this is where we have kind of had to have conversations with some people who have asked us about our programming is like the digital world is here and it's not going anywhere. And and so like there are lots of jobs that you can chase down like social media managing and all that stuff that you don't have to work as hard and be so committed. And it's easier balance of like, you know, family and you time. I used to work from home. I mean, I used to love working from home because I had so much freedom and I love my job here. Don't get me wrong, but like, there's just something about like being able to do that and then getting paid to do, you know, I mean, it's almost 6 o'clock on a Monday night. I should be home with my kids eating dinner, but I'm doing my purpose and I'm working, but like, you know, I'm not complaining about that, but I just think that I think it's not fair to them for these, for adults to put pressure on them. And like, you know, just because that was the way that they would, that, that, cause that's the mentality is like, well, we had to do it. So well, you got to do it too. Which is just like, it doesn't have to be that way. Like,
it doesn't have to be that way. And it shouldn't be that way. And it's our job to make sure that history doesn't repeat itself and to advocate for the youth.
Yeah. What were you saying, James? James was gonna say something.
Well, when I, growing up, I was homeschooled during elementary. So like the schools that I've been to, like after I moved, like after I got out of elementary, I went to middle school and I didn't know any of these kids because like I didn't go to elementary with them and any, all that stuff. And then I moved to a whole different school, which is Bradley. And I had to just like restart. And then all these kids are like, man, you should have been there for elementary, man. It was really fun. And then I'm like, man, it's like, I don't really like remember much that I did when I was in homeschool.
Yeah.
So I'm a people person.
And yeah,
that's why I like school so much, because there's so many people I can talk to, stuff like that.
That's good. This is a good conversation.
I know it really has been. I hate to end it, but it is time to get to our last question of the day.
I'm ready.
All right, Christy.
Yes.
With all the things that you know now and all that you have accomplished, what is one thing you wish you could say to your younger self?
You are going to make mistakes, and that's okay. You are going to be the bad guy in some stories and take ownership of it, but don't let it stop you from growing. You are going to want to work way too hard, and you should pause and have fun. Go out for dinner with your friends, go on a car ride, go out for ice cream late night, make the memories, make the time, because that's really, really at the end of the day, what matters. And be nicer to your parents. Period.
Boom. Wow. That was... Yeah, mic drop.
She can just go to outro right now. Just do.
But anyway, all right, folks. I'm Mr. Joe, and this is Youth Sports Chronicles. I'm joined by my co-host, James and Crazy Jay, and with our special guest, Christy Christner. Today, we learned about being an events coordinator.
Yeah.
We learned about the 400 question and the test that you take. Yeah.
400 questions. That's a lot.
I know. But then we also learned about the importance of taking the time to be still.
Work balance.
Life. Yeah, work balance. Mm. Honestly, it was a good conversation.
This was a good one. Yeah.
So to all you listeners out there, we hope that you get to hear this episode and get to apply some stuff to your life, and hope you learned about a new career, because hospitality, shoot, that's a way to go. Follow us on
Instagram.
Yeah.
And then, and now we're on YouTube now, Joe.
Yeah. Oh, YouTube.
We just launched our YouTube channel, Youth Horse Chronicles, BGCOR. We will put a link up on our social medias to follow us there. Please be sure to check us out. And do you have anything that you have coming up that you wanted to plug?
I don't have a lot of speaking engagements. This is the first time I've been on something like this.
Well, if you want to hire her to come speak to your youth, I suggest you do it.
I'm open. My books are open.
We should get you to Elevate, because that'd be great.
Oh, I'd love a good time right there.
We need to have her come do a survey for Elevate to see how well it is. That'd be awesome.
Okay. All right. Anyway, folks, we'll catch you next time. Youth Force Chronicles, hit it.
Later.
Are you ready?